Dilla was a rebel, you know what I'm saying? Relax and enjoy. Sportphysio Talk, der Podcast, where we explore the world of sports physiotherapy. With your host, sports physiotherapist Chris Schantl.
I mean, Dilla was a rebel, like I said, you know what I'm saying? He did it his way, from the beginning to the ending, you know what I'm saying?
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Sports Physio Talk podcast. The Sports Physio Talk has been around since 2022 and focuses on topics from the world of sports physiotherapy as well as relevant aspects from other areas of sports. This podcast gives you insights into daily clinical practice, the rehab process, and the realities of working with athletes, both in the clinic and on the field. I regularly invite experts to share the knowledge, experience, and perspective on specific topics. And that's exactly what we are doing today. Today's episode is a special one. We are diving into a real clinical case, a case study of an athlete dealing with groin pain, one of the most complex and often misunderstood issues in sports physiotherapy. And for this conversation, I'm joined by someone who truly stands out in this field, Stefan Boder. Stefan brings a unique combination of what I always describe as the three E's: evidence, experience, and expertise. He doesn't just understand the science behind groin pain, he translates it into practical, real-world clinical reasoning. Over the past years, Stefan has developed a project called Focus Leiste, which has helped many clinicians better understand and manage groin pain. And now, this project is also available in English, making it accessible to an international audience. That's also the reason why today's episode is recorded in English for the first time. In this episode, you will get a deep insight into how Stefan approaches a case like this, from patient history to clinical examination to decision-making and treatment strategies. So if you're working with athletes dealing with groin pain in your daily practice, or simply want to sharpen your clinical reasoning, this episode is definitely for you. So sit back, relax, and enjoy.
The base episode of Sports Physio Talk is proudly presented by thecroinphysio.com. Groin in athletes really comes from where it hurts. Stop chasing symptoms, understand the real mechanism. The Groin Physio Masterclass. Learn it online, apply it on hands-on, refine it with guided reflection. Australian-trained, European-tested, performance-proven. Join the Groin Physio Masterclass on www.thecroinphysio.com. Enjoy the episode.
Yeah, Stefan, great to have you here. Today we are talking about a groin case, but could you briefly introduce yourself in the beginning?
Well, thank you very much, Chris, for hosting me. So just a quick intro about myself. I was born and raised in Vienna, Austria. That's also where I completed my undergrad physio. And then I did a master's in musculoskeletal and sports physiotherapy at the University of South Australia in Adelaide. And then I worked for many years with the Austrian national ice hockey team and also with the Austrian national football team. Also at major tournaments such as the European Championships and the Ice Hockey World Championships. And as you might have noticed, I've got a huge interest in groin pain. I've kind of seen like more than 500 cases now in the last 15 years. And today I want to walk you through a case that's a really good example of how groin pain in athletes is really just a local muscle issue.
All right, so that's a huge amount of cases you worked with. And are most of them are athletes, or do you have also not athletes? So, but most of the time it's a common injury in athletes. So I think it's, and we are here in the Sports Physio Talk. So yeah, it's more the athlete thing.
Yeah, so obviously it's more about active people. So the majority of my patients would have been soccer players and ice hockey players because it's very common in those codes. So, however, it can also happen to recreational athletes who just go for a run and maybe take it a bit too hard on themselves, too far, too fast, too often. So, while this is a common presentation in soccer, rugby, or ice hockey, today I want to present you a case about a handball player, just because I believe there have been so many case studies done on adductor-related groin pain in soccer players that it felt the right thing to do. Well, she's a 22-year-old female handball player, and I saw her last year in September when she was having groin pain since January. So she kept playing, training, and competing, which led to recurring issues rather than one acute episode. So it was like an insidious onset of her condition. One important piece of the puzzle was her injury history. Back in 2021, she had a major knee injury on the left side, an ACL rupture, medial and lateral meniscus tears, and an MCL. All surgically repaired using a quadriceps graft. She reported a good recovery overall and didn't have any further symptoms or issues with playing handball. But as we'll see, that history will become highly relevant. Her symptoms profile: she had pain in the right groin, radiating into the medial thigh and occasionally into the pelvic floor region. What stood out was that her symptoms were clearly load dependent, and they were aggravated by stop-and-go movements, especially in defensive play. So handball players, she was a backcourt player, a tall woman, but in handball, when you play defense, you have to do a lot of stop-and-go movements in a short area, many quick and short steps, a bit like basketball. So essentially, all high-demand situations involving deceleration and load transfer. Interestingly, gentle adductor work actually relieved her symptoms, so we did some soft tissue work just to keep her playing, which already suggests this isn't simply a case of don't load the tissue. She had already been doing some rehab before she saw me. This included physiotherapy, core strengthening, and Copenhagen adductor exercises at around level 2. At that stage, the goal was mainly to manage symptoms through the season with a planned break later in the year. So we had like a 5 weeks period initially where we knew that we just need to keep her going, keep her playing. And then we were looking into like a 5 week national team break where we considered to really go deeper and where we would have been able to do some more advanced rehab. But we will come back to that later.
Yeah. What would you say, if you can, is it possible to play with a groin pain? In this case, you said that you have find a management to work around or to work with treatment techniques to let her play till the season break. Is it often that athletes who deal with groin pain that they can play, or what's your?
I think that's one of the unique things about groin pain and groin injuries. While many other conditions, such as like ACL or muscle injuries, tend to immediately ban you and stop you from competing, with a groin injury, many athletes can compete. However, they might well do so on a lower level of performance. But since she managed well, so we monitored her squeeze values, she didn't aggravate her pain extremely, we decided to keep her playing, because if you're a professional athlete, that's what you're meant to do. And at this time, it didn't look like the risk of further injury would have been very big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that actually reminds me of a case I had recently in my own clinical practice. We were not talking about this earlier in German because we recorded the episode in German as well. And it just came to my mind during the English recording. I treated a football player in the middle of the season who developed pain in the adductor region, the adductor magnus. Already during the patient history, it was quite clear to me that the issue was likely not just the muscle itself being overloaded, but that was probably something else contributing to the problem. However, it was also obvious that the player needed to finish the first half of the season as they were competing for the championship. So in this situation, we made a conscious decision to manage the symptoms in the short term. We used more passive approach, in this case dry needling of the adductor magnus, which reduced the pain quite effectively. The player was able to continue playing, but after about 3 weeks the symptoms returned, so we repeated the same approach to help him get through the final weeks of to end the season break. Of course, during the season ended, we addressed the issue in a more sustainable way and focused on the underlying cause rather than just the symptoms. In German, you call it Opfer and Täter. In English,
it's the culprit and the victim.
Yes. Yeah. I think as a physiotherapist, sports physiotherapist, you always have to assess whatever this approach is acceptable from a health perspective. And in this case, it was quite in line with what you mentioned earlier, Stefan, that athletes can sometimes continue competing with a certain level of manageable pain. So I think this really highlights that in sports physiotherapy, you often have to think a bit differently compared to a more traditional clinical setting. How was it in your case?
Well, I think that's a really good example, because especially when you're working in elite sports or in an elite environment, very often muscles get sore and they might impair you or bother you when you're playing, but you can still play. And then it can help doing some passive treatment, such as gentle soft tissue or dry needling or whatever, because we do know that it can help matching patient expectations, doing some neuromodulation and this type of things. But I think it's really important not only to know the victim. In this case, obviously, the Dr. Longo's muscle for her was the victim, which I will get into a bit later. But I was quite aware that there had to be a culprit, like a main cause for the problem. So when we assessed her, we were able to reproduce her symptoms quite consistently. She had pain with active straight leg raise and a combined leg lift with a sit-up. So when I pushed on both her injured leg, on the right leg, and resisted her left shoulder, such as a diagonal sit-up or like crossover body crunch, she had a typical pain on the right adductors, but also on the pubic bone. From a joint perspective, the Faber reproduced a familiar pinching sensation, but overall hip rotation and the Fadir test were all negative. So I expected the discomfort on the Faber being due to her hypertonic adductor longus muscle. And what really stood out was the squeeze test. I tend to perform the squeeze test in various angles. And when she brought up her legs into a 90-90 position, like hips flexed till 90 and also knee, but when she squeezed together, she obviously had to use both her adductors and the hip flexors and the abdominals. That was the position which aggravated the symptoms the most, which led me to the hypothesis and clinical diagnosis that it was not only adductor-related groin pain, such as she was being referred with from her GP, but also pubic-related groin pain. So it was like, as it is quite often with the Doha Agreement, many athletes fit more than one category. So it was like both adductor and abdominal. And the pubic symphysis, when we did the 90-90 squeeze test, became like a central load and transfer point where she had to withstand the tension from above the abdominal muscles and below the adductors. So kind of the leg and the core muscles were fighting a tug of war with the pubic symphysis and the adductors being the victim. When on palpation, she also presented with an increased tone in adductor longus and all the other adductor muscles around the right side, like pectineus, adductor magnus, and rectus abdominis. But now that's the important thing. We also performed, when she was pain-free, long liver adductor strength testing, because I already suspected that the adductors were just the victim and not the culprit. And we realized that her adductor peak torque, like Newton times meter divided by body weight, were absolutely fine. So she was strong enough, but still her right adductor always became hypertonic and painful, bothering her when she was playing handball. So that's, I think, the beauty of this example is like the culprit and victim analogy. So the real turning point came when I asked her to present some tasks such as change of direction in the clinic. But even when we did a simple forward lunge, I could observe that there was a clear valgus collapse on the right side. So we just want to keep in mind that she had the ACL recon and this big ACL surgery on the left knee. And she did a fantastic job with her physio and athletic coach on rehabbing the left side. But for some reason, when she put load on her right foot, such as change of direction or stepping forward, decelerating, she collapsed into a knee valgus. And the thing is, even though it was not the injured leg, it was highly relevant for her problems, because when we corrected the right knee medial collapse, like the right knee valgus, just by giving her a resistance band, pushing her right knee into a neutral position, it got much better from the symptoms. So we learned that despite the adductors were hypertonic, they were strong enough, they were the victim, and they just could not handle the load they were put under during change of direction or deceleration.
So the most relevant thing, what you were finding, what the knee collapse, you would say, and that was the reason for your working diagnosis. How did you approach the treatment, and what was your starting point after all your clinical reasoning?
So, as I've said at the beginning, we had a 5 to 6 week period where we just had to manage and monitor her throughout the season, waiting for a 5 week period of a national team break where we could really get into the problem. So, as it often happens, things didn't go exactly to plan. After the or at the beginning of the national team break, she became ill, required antibiotics, and ended up having time off anyway, just not in a structured way. So we had to adapt. And to be honest, even if everything had gone to plan, I would still have given her at least 1 week, one full week completely off, because I believe proper recovery is often underestimated, and we always need to keep in mind that we are dealing with human beings. So the return to training phase in January and February, we had to shift our focus, because the plan to work on the culprit, like re-educate and reload the whole thing in the national team break, didn't work. So one key step was communication with the coach. When we are using some reverse engineering, such as what was the trigger for her culprit or for her problems, it obviously was the change of direction. Most of groin pain athletes divide into kicking or shooting mechanism, sprinting, and change of direction being the three main trigger for groin pain. So in her case, the change of direction, we could not kind of eliminate this factor when she was playing handball, because that's part of the game. But as with most field sports, they had quite an intense athletic session on Tuesday mornings, usually, where a lot of stop and go movements, a lot of defense play was required from her. And what we did we involved her, we involved the coaching staff, and she had to perform her rehab program, doing some heavy loading exercises, some quite demanding ones for keeping her leg alignment perfect. And instead of the athletic session, she did all those work, and it was fine with the coach because he was aware and he saw that she wants to do everything to get better. She doesn't want to take it easy in practice. So we had a really good experience with that. And this is exactly where everything connects again, because these were the situations that stressed the symptoms the most. Rapid deceleration, valgus stress, high load transfer. So in this case, even it didn't work in the first place during the national team break in November, we could kind of figure it out with a controlled exposure and some shifting from her training load to some more rehab exercises. And again, the adductor was the victim, but the movement pattern, in this case the knee collapse, was the culprit. So that's like one of my key messages in my past experience, that very often the groin is the victim, not the culprit.
Would you say that these are one of the common mistakes clinicians can make, that they don't, that they just focus on the victim?
Yes, definitely. And I think it's just a low-hanging fruit to focus on the victim, because obviously if your patient, if your athlete is getting better with doing some manual work and some adductor exercises, you're tempted to think, I need to get him stronger or her and work on her adductors. But in my case, or in this case, it was a bit easier because this had already been done. So I'm seeing many athletes as a second opinion, and in many cases, proper rehab has already been done, has unfortunately failed. So I gotta say, usually I don't tend to see the cases which have failed. But I think it's always important, if an athlete doesn't respond to the exercises, to the treatment you give him in the way you expect it, and he or she keeps coming back with the same problem, you definitely want to rethink your whole diagnosis, your clinical diagnosis, and consider if there is a culprit, as in her case, like a shadow of the past, is around or not.
Mm-hmm. What's the one key takeaway for this case, if you choose one?
Okay, if I just have to pick one, I think of the problem first. In her case, reassess which movement gives her the most trouble, and then let her do it in your clinic until she fails. So in her case, when she did the forward lunges in a slowly and controlled manner, she was fine. But when we did it a bit faster, we used some reactive type of exercises, she started failing, and then also the symptoms started to flare up. So I think that's the important thing. If you suspect one mechanism, you need your athlete to fail, and it makes sense to use some reverse engineering.
Where can people find more about your work?
I'm really glad that I can tell I've launched thegroinphysio.com, which is an educational platform for sports doctors and physiotherapists who just want to get a better and clearer understanding of groin pain in athletes. You can find me on www.thegroinphysio.com. And I've also put together a nice online course, The Groin Playbook, which is like a two-hour course, also using many case studies from my past experience, and should help you to get a better understanding on how you treat and manage groin injuries.
Stefan, your next step is a big tournament. You are working with the Austrian national team, the ice hockey team, and they are starting the World Championship in Switzerland in the upcoming week. It's not the upcoming week, or it's in 2 weeks.
I'm really looking forward to this. So we're gonna start tomorrow with the last preparation camp in Carinthia, which is like a southern state of Austria. with a fantastic hockey culture. So I'm really looking forward to a sold-out rink in Klagenfurt. And then next week on Tuesday, we're going to fly off to Zurich, where we're going to play the Ice Hockey World Championships, facing some fantastic hockey nations such as the US and Finland. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to being back with the hockey team.
And yeah, with the first match being against Great Britain, it actually feels quite fitting that this also became the first English episode of the Sports Physio Talk. So, Stefan, thanks a lot for your time and for your insights. I appreciate that. And yeah.
Thank you very much for hosting, Chris.
You're welcome.
Ja, das war's auch schon wieder mit der heutigen Folge. Ich hoffe, ihr hattet Spaß dabei. Ich freue mich über ein Like und ein Abonnement auf den gängigen Streaming-Plattformen Spotify, Apple Music und Co. Bei Fragen, Anregungen zur heutigen Folge oder einer der vorangegangenen könnt ihr mir eine E-Mail schreiben an info@sportphysio-fortbildung.at. Ich freue mich. Bis zum nächsten Mal. Euer Chris.